Turn to 1 Kings chapter 18, and we're going to be looking at verses 41 through 46 this morning. And as you're turning there, I want to let you know that next week we'll be celebrating communion, and just ask that you would come with hearts ready to be able to partake in that, to be able to spend time with the Lord this week and to focus on your love relationship with Him. Well, let's look in 1 Kings chapter 18 and verse 41. We're going to look at the subject of being an effective prayer. And we've been looking at the life of Elijah. We have looked at the faith that was required for him to trust God, to be able to go to Ahab and say, "It's not going to rain." It's now been about 3.5 years, and the last time we saw him, he had just challenged the prophets of Baal and Asherah and called fire down from heaven. And as we studied last week, we saw this great victory of Elijah being willing to take a stand and to be able to have this amazing faith in God. And so he has just come off this great, great high, this great celebration. And today we're looking as he continues right after that, after the prophets have been killed, and here he is again about to approach King Ahab. So let's look in verse 41. Then Elijah said to Ahab, "Go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain." So Ahab went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, "Go up now, look toward the sea." So he went up and looked and said, "There is nothing." And 7 times he said, "Go again." Then it came to pass the 7th time that he said to him, "There is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea." So he said, "Go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you." Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. And then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the truth that you give. And I pray, God, that you would make Grace Baptist Church a house of prayer. And Lord, before we can become a praying church, we have to become praying families. And before we become a praying family, we have to become a praying individual. So God, I pray that you would stir in us, Lord, a desire to be awakened and to be used, Lord, to be able to see the plans of God birthed. Lord, that you would use this congregation, Lord, to be able to pray and to have your will done. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Many of you probably have heard the good news. I think it's probably good news that Amazon is coming to Bakersfield. And I don't know about y'all, but that's pretty exciting. I mean, you know, now when you order things and it takes a day or two, I mean, you could actually probably just go to the warehouse and pick it up once it's built, you know. They're estimating, okay, that they're going to be building a warehouse that's 2 million square feet. That's going to hold a lot of stuff. And hopefully it'll be a good thing for the economy of Bakersfield. And imagine Jeff Bezos as he comes to Bakersfield, probably to visit this site, and maybe he decided, "Hey, you know what, I'm going to stop in and visit the people of Grace Baptist Church." And he's the richest man in the world, it seems to appear right now. So maybe he could come in and say, "You know what? I just feel generous today. I'm going to give each of you $1 million in an account. Man, that'd be sort of exciting, wouldn't it? And you know, it would be exciting, except maybe he gives us a card and we don't know how to use that card. And so the $1 million is sitting in the account, but we have no way to access what is already guaranteed to us. You know, I think a lot of people felt that way when we went from writing checks, some of you older people, to getting the card. You were like, now what do I do, you know? And I think that this is a perfect example sometimes of the fact that there are millions and millions of blessings that are far greater than dollars that God is ready to pour out among His people. And the problem is not that our account is not full. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, then you are given the spiritual blessings of God. The problem is not that there's not the blessings in the account. The problem is we don't know how to access and make the withdrawals from the account. And so today I want us to look at a very important subject. We've looked at it before. If you were here about a year ago, this is going to sound very familiar because we looked at this subject of how do we become an effective prayer looking at the life of Elijah. But I've got to be honest. We spent, I don't know, all last fall talking about the importance of prayer. But I really haven't seen a change in the congregation. I haven't seen a desire for our people to say, I want to get together and call upon the name of the Lord and be able to see miracles take place. And it breaks my heart because it's not that I'm trying to say, listen, guys, do this so that we look better or that we have more numbers. It's just the really fact that unless we become a church that calls upon the name of the Lord together, we're not going to see the miracles of God take place. It doesn't work doing it our way. When God says this is what you have to do, then we just have to be obedient to it. And I'll be honest with you, I don't understand all the ins and outs. I don't. I wish I did. I wish I could tell you how prayer works. I wish I could tell you why does God want us to gather together in unity and pray? And why is it important? I can't really explain it all, but this is what I truly believe based upon the Word of God. If the people of God will come together and call upon His name together, God will do amazing things in that congregation. And if we're not seeing amazing things being done, it's because we're being disobedient to the most important thing, and that is praying. I've said this over and over again. God didn't say build a house and get the greatest speaker to draw people in. He didn't say build a house and have great music so it will sound good to us. He didn't say build a house and have great potlucks, which I love. But He said, listen, I want you to build a house, and I want for it to be a house of what? Of prayer. Folks, I'm just going to be honest with you. I am going to be a pastor where there is a church that is a house of prayer. I don't know how more simply to put that. That's my heart, is that I'm going to be a pastor of a church that wants to pray, that wants to come together and pray. We've done things where we've done Wednesday night prayer meetings, and I mean, I've been a part of a church that was in Raleigh, North Carolina. They had 2,000 people on a Sunday morning, but then on Wednesday night prayer meeting, they had 15. We're weak in prayer in America. We're making it simple. We're saying, let's come together on Sunday morning at 9 o'clock and let's just spend 25 minutes together just calling upon the name of the Lord in unity. And how many of you believe that if we did that, God would work? But we've got to go from saying amen to actually getting up and coming, and not coming one time, but making it a priority in our life. Amen. It's got to be the heartbeat of all who we are. It's got to become the culture of who we are. So I want us to look again, hopefully with a different set of eyes, with a different emphasis, with a different passion, to be able to say what makes us effective prayers. And I want us to look at some of the keys to effective praying real quick this morning. And then I hope during the invitation we'll take time to not just talk about prayer, but to actually pray during the time of invitation. So the first thing I want us to look at is that prayer is listening to God. Prayer is listening to God. Notice, let's turn back a little bit in 1 Kings. Look at chapter 17, verse 1. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years except at my word." How did Elijah know that it was going to stop raining? Because he had a conversation with God, and God what? Revealed that to him. Now it's been 3.5 years. How did Elijah know that the rain was coming? Well, let's look at chapter 18, verse 1. "And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, 'Go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth.'" Folks, a lot of times we think prayer is us going to God with our wish list and hoping that somehow we can use the right charm and the right words, and if we rub the lamp the right way, all these things will come to us. But prayer is a love relationship with God. It's more important what God is saying than what we are saying. And it's not only important for us to know that as an individual, but as the body of Christ, it's important for us to be able to connect to one another and to be able to hear from God and to know what is His purpose. The Bible tells us that God takes the initiative. Notice what it says in 1 John 4:19. It says, "We love Him because He what? He first loved us. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." John 8:47, "He who is of God hears God's words. Therefore you do not hear because you are not of God." This is what's so great about being in a love relationship with God, is the fact that God speaks. And the most thrilling thing that should ever take place is that we would be able to hear the voice of God. And if you're a Christian, this should be a normal experience for you. That God should be speaking and you should be hearing. But it's not only for us as an individual, but it's also for us as the body of Christ. We should be coming together as a church family, united, and we ought to be able to say, we're hearing from God. This is what He wants us to do. Amen. But if we never come together and pray together and never listen to God together, how are we going to know the voice of God? We've got to make time to be able to say that this is a priority in our life. Imagine if you wanted to talk to somebody important. Let's say you wanted to talk to the President of the United States today. Some of y'all probably have some things you'd like to tell him, right? Go ahead and do it. How do you do it? How do you get his ear? The problem is, unless he makes the initiative and he gives us direct access to him, there is no way we could talk to the president. But think of the honor it is not to just talk to the president, who changes every 4 to 8 years, who's just a man. But what about talking to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, who controls everything? And the fact that he comes and he says, "Listen, I died for you. I rose again from you. I am going to use you. I have a plan and a purpose for your life." And this King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, he says, listen, you can call me daddy because you're my child. Oh, it should put a burden in us to want to pray. Think about Abraham. How did Abraham know to leave Ur and to be able to go eventually to the land of Israel? He just pray about it one day and say, God, I want to do this for you. No, it was God told him what? You need to start moving. Remember the story of Moses? Moses had an idea one day. He was like, listen, I think I'm going to start a revolution and I'm going to free Israel. And he tried that on his own, and it didn't go too well. He ended up murdering somebody and ended up having to flee Egypt and went and lived in the wilderness for 40 years, and he was happy being a shepherd. And then what happened? God came to him again. He took the initiative. And Moses listened, and he said, listen, now, Moses, go and free Israel. Now it's my timing. Now we need to do this. And Moses was like, nah, I don't really want to do it. And he's like, no, go. All right, I'll go. How about Jonah? How did Jonah know to go to Nineveh? Because God what? Took the initiative. How about Paul? How did Paul know to go to Macedonia? Because God took the initiative. This is the heart of prayer, is that you are hearing from God. And if you're not hearing from God, you're missing the whole purpose of what Christianity is about. It's not about going through religious ritual. Folks, my heart's concerned because if we do not love to pray, I'm concerned if we're really, truly believers. When you get to heaven, guess what's going to be in heaven? It's going to be believers who are with Jesus. And I understand this, that sometimes we want to come and we want to hear good preaching and we want to hear good music and all that's great, but what would you do if it was just you and Jesus? Would you show up? That's what prayer is. And it scares me. It scares me that our church has a time where it's just us and Jesus, and most of the people don't come. Man, it should be our heart to want to come together and to be able to hear God. Secondly, I want you to see something that's a key to effective prayer, is understanding that prayer is birthing God's plan. Notice that Elijah has great faith in verse 42. He tells Ahab, listen, Ahab, it's time for you to go celebrate. Go eat and drink because it's finally going to rain. The drought is over. The famine is going to be over. But then notice what Elijah had to do. Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel. And it says there he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. What's interesting is this was a position in the ancient times that women often used in order to be able to give birth. And in a sense, what he was doing was coming down and bowing down, and it was as if he understood this is how God works. God is able to birth his will as the people of God come together and pray. And let me tell you something. I understand that prayer is not easy. Prayer is some of the hardest things that you will ever do. That's why we don't really like to do it a lot of times, because it's not easy. And it is sometimes uncomfortable. I mean, think about it. We're in a spiritual battle. I mean, you would think, honestly, think about this. As far as being able to do it, isn't it easy just to say, okay, I'm going to sit down for 5 minutes and read this book, and I'm going to take 5 to 10 minutes and just be quiet and listen and talk to the Lord? Simple. But how many of us struggle with that day in and day out? Why? Because there's a spiritual battle taking place. Let me tell you, when we come and we read God's word and we pray about it, this is what Satan knows. Satan knows there's so much power there that the plan of God will be birthed. And if he can get us to stop praying together, then we're not going to be very effective. But I tell you, there is nothing that can stop a church that will come together and call upon the name of the Lord. There's absolutely nothing. And so he says, listen, you have to understand that here's Elijah, and he's here, and he's coming, and he understands, okay, I've got to pray. Now, we saw Elijah last week when we saw the fire from heaven. He prayed one time, and what happened? Fire immediately came from heaven. Sometimes it's like that. Anybody ever just thrown up a prayer request up there one time and God just instantly answered it and you're like, wow, man, that's awesome. But this isn't the occasion. This isn't what happened with Elijah this time. Elijah's struggling. He's coming and he's already told the king, okay, it's going to rain. And he goes and he believes it and he prays and he says, okay, servant, go up there and then there's going to be rain. Servant comes back and says, Elijah, I've got bad news. It's not raining. There's nothing. You ever been to that place before? You prayed about something, got no, and then you just stopped. Here's Elijah. And he keeps on praying. Prays again, tells the servant, go up there. What do you see? Nothing. He comes back. Go back again. Goes up there, comes back, see nothing. Go back again, 7 times. And he sees a cloud that's the size of a man's fist. I mean, we're talking, nothing. And Elijah says, that's it. We better get going because that rain is about to come and it's going to be bad when it does. And in just a little bit, we see a whole storm come out of nowhere and pours down rain. You see, this is what you need to understand and I need to understand. And this is what I truly believe, that when we pray, it bursts God's plan. And we've got to be people who are willing to come together. And the most important work we are going to do is to pray together, folks. We've got to have that passion. We've got to believe that. It's more important for us to pray than to do. And we can do, but if we're not praying, it's not going to accomplish the will of God. And if we are a body of Christ, it's not good enough for just one arm and 3 fingers and 2 toes to show up to pray. We need what? The entire what? Body to be able to come. This is the call that God has not just given Grace Baptist, but every church, for us to come together and to pray. There's some things that we see about Elijah birthing prayer and birthing God's plan that's required. First of all, we see that there's faith. He had to believe as he was praying that God was going to answer. Notice what it says in Mark chapter 11, verse 22. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast in the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things shall be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you will have them. Man, doesn't that sound like an exciting thing to do? Wouldn't it be awesome if we got together and we just said, listen, we're going to keep on calling on those lost people that we know and love. I'm going to call on my neighbor. I'm going to call on my aunt. I'm going to call on my friend. I'm going to call on that fellow student. And we're just going to continue to call on God. And we're going to believe that God is going to awaken. And wouldn't it be exciting that over the next couple years, we see God draw those people here and they repent of their sin and trust Christ. And now they're walking alongside of you and serving the Lord together. And you go, man, pastor, that's impossible. I know. I know it is. But I believe this. I believe that if it was God's will and God wanted us to, we could say, listen, we want you to remove that mountain over the grapevine because it's a little inconvenient having to go up and down it. We just want to drive straight. God, remove that mountain. I believe if it was God's will and we prayed it, he would do it. And see, folks, that's the key. Is as we're listening and we pray in faith, God will do. Now, that doesn't mean that it just happens instantly, as we'll see. Secondly, we see it takes humility. I mean, here's Elijah, and I mean, he's in this weird position. He's humbled. He's down on his knees. Notice what James chapter 4 says. You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and you do not obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you what? You do not ask. Some of us are just too proud to even ask. We feel like we have to go get it on our own. And then he says, you ask and you do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. How many times are we praying things and it's just about us and our life and our comfort? How many times should we be praying the things that are really concerning God and his will and his eternal kingdom? Later on in this passage, he says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord and he will do what? He will lift you up. Folks, if we're going to be people who pray and be effective in birthing God's plan, we're going to have to be humble people. But we're also going to have to see that we have to have perseverance. We can't just pray one time sometimes for that person. We've got to pray seven times. We've got to keep on calling. We've got to realize that there's a spiritual warfare. We saw that in the book of Daniel. And Daniel's asking this prayer. And eventually the angel comes and he says, why didn't you come immediately? And he says, man, I was in a spiritual battle. Folks, we're in a spiritual battle. I know we want that person saved. I know we want to see ministries grow. I know that there's people in this congregation that should be here today, but they're not because Satan is keeping them at home. There's a spiritual battle that's taking place. And we're going to have to keep on praying, and believing. This is how God tests our faith. Do we persevere in it? I'm not asking you to make a commitment to prayer for next week and you show up at 9 o'clock. I'm asking you to make that for the rest of your life. Say, I'm going to be a person who prays with my church because it is important. I believe that God's going to do something. And I believe I'm a part of the body here. And I believe that as I pray that God's going to do something, and as I have my faith to what God is doing, amazing things are going to happen if I persevere in that. Amen? And then we got to have expectations. We can't just have faith when we begin praying, but we've got to have faith at the end. God, something's going to take place. We see these two things sort of tied together in Luke chapter 11, verse 5, when Jesus says, and he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on this journey and I have nothing set before him. Now, I don't know what type of friends come over at midnight. That's sort of crazy, right? But here's this guy and he's got his friends and he needs food and he's not ready. I see the Pomeroys laughing. That's probably the only ones that would have, you know, friends that come over at midnight. You know, and their neighbors have probably gotten knocked. And he's there and he says, listen, don't trouble me. The door is shut. I've already got everything locked. My children are in bed. I don't want to wake them. I'm not going to get up and give you bread. And he says, listen, I say to you, he's not going to rise because he's your friend. But if you keep on knocking, sooner or later, he's what? He's going to get up. And so I say to you, and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receive. And he who seeks, find. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. Folks, I don't know, but there should be some shouting and jumping up and down because you're an everyone. This church is an everyone. Our church can have, if we will ask, if we will seek, if we will knock, God will answer. God will do amazing things through Grace Baptist Church. But he's only going to do it if we're going to be obedient to prayer. And we've got to make a decision. I've made the decision. I've made the decision that I'm going to be a pastor of a church that prays. That's what I've always wanted to be a part of. I don't care if we have the best music. I sort of do care that we still have Cora's banana pudding, all right? But we can have okay potlucks. We don't have to have the greatest teachers, and we don't have to have the greatest buildings. We don't have to have all the glitz and glitter. But my heart would be filled with joy if people would come and say, you know something, that Grace Baptist Church, that's a praying church. That's a house of prayer. When there's something in the community, we know that we can go to Grace Baptist Church and give them that request and it'll be prayed for. We see God alive and work because we see that they believe that their God is alive and they call upon Him and He answers. And then the last thing I want you to see is a key is that prayer is being moldable to serve. You see, when we're praying, this is what happens. God transforms us. Elijah just wasn't able just to pray, but as he prayed, he would be an answer to the prayer that he was praying. He develops our character. He tests us as we pray. And Elijah was one who would come, and as he prayed these seven times and he heard the answer, he came and he ran off that mountain knowing that it was going to rain, and he got ahead and he was going to continue to be used. He had already confronted Ahab. He had taken care of the prophets of Baal and Asher. And he was willing to say, listen, God, you can use me as I pray. You see, it's hard to pray, God, send laborers into the harvest, until you first answer, Lord, also send me. And you see, this is part of the thing. As we pray together, guess what God's going to do in our church? He's going to awaken a spirit of service. Because we can't pray about the ministries of the church. We can't pray for people of this church without God changing our hearts, saying, God, here am I, use me. And we wonder sometimes, I know I talk to the staff and they go, how come it seems so hard sometimes to get people to do stuff? I'll tell you why. It's because we're not praying together. But I tell you, when people are praying and then there's a need, as you've been praying about that, you can't help but say, God, could you use me? And God will say, absolutely, I can use you. And I'll tell you, there's nothing greater than being used in the hand of God to be able to do that. I see that in Nomar and Dinah. I miss them a lot. But I see people who were sort of surface level, sort of peripheral out there, and they started to get a little bit of an inch and say, God, we just want to start praying for missions. And we prayed together and we went on a couple mission trips to Belize, and they kept praying, they kept on saying, God, we can't wait just for somebody else to do it, but God, you could use us to do it. And now they're serving in Belize and they're going to the Philippines, and the reason we don't see them is because they're moldable and they're being used by God to answer their own prayer. And as you pray for your lost family members and your co-workers and your fellow students, you also are going to be raised up to be used of God to be able to reach them. It's how God works. As we pray, we see that He uses and does great things in and through us. I think about Barbara Smith. If there was ever a prayer warrior, it was Barbara Smith. But I'll tell you, Barbara not only prayed, but she also what? Served. Why? Because as you're praying, you can't have a heart that says, God, I won't serve. And God just revealed to me and spoke to me. He said, you've got to be a part of a church that loves prayer more than anything else. Because if they love prayer, they just love being in my presence. And if they love me more than anything else, then you don't have to worry about all the other stuff. There'll be people who will be willing to serve. There'll be people who are willing to give. There'll be people who are willing to go on missions. Because you can't pray and not be changed. And as you pray, you have to be one who is moldable to serve. Now, I don't know, but man, I don't want to be just a praying church where our prayers just go up to the ceiling, but I want prayers that go all the way to heaven. And here's Elijah, and just in a day, he's here, and he's able to call fire from heaven through the Lord, and now he's able to call water from heaven. And there they are worshiping Baal and Asher, and they thought that there was somehow they could be control of nature, and they understand there's only one King of Kings and one Lord of Lords and one Creator and one God. And folks, this is the great joy that we have, that we get to pray to that God. And He invites us to pray. He calls us to pray. He pleads with us to come as a body and pray. And then He makes these ridiculous promises that say, listen, if you will gather together and pray, guess what I'll do? I'll do amazing things. And then we're scratching our head going, how come we don't see God working? I know why we don't see God working. Because we're not obedient to what He's told us to do. And that is to come together and pray. Real quickly, I want us to look at some lessons from Elijah that we get from James chapter 5. We have it up there, but let's look at James chapter 5, verse 16 through 18. And it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain, and the earth produced its fruit. Three things I want to see about Elijah that should encourage you today. Number one, it says that Elijah was an ordinary man. He was just an ordinary person. You ever feel like today, man, there's just nothing really. I'm not Billy Graham. I'm not Mother Teresa. I'm not Paul. I'm not Peter. I'm not Esther. I'm just an ordinary person. Well, praise God. That's what Elijah was. He was just like you and me. He was just a man. And folks, we've been looking at Elijah, and Elijah is on cloud nine. We look at him and go, oh, well, there's no way that I could be that way. Wait until next week, and you'll be like, I was just like him. So we're going to see that Elijah had great faith, but I'm going to tell you, Elijah also had great doubts. We'll see it next week. But here's the good news. He was just an ordinary person who believed that God could work through his life if he prayed. And folks, if we will just simply believe that God can work through what He said He will work through, then we can see amazing things. And this is the best part. Elijah only had the Holy Spirit upon him. The Bible says the Holy Spirit dwells inside of us. And as the people of God who are the church, we are the bride of Christ. Folks, that's why Jesus said, listen, greater things you can do than what I could even do while I was here. I believe God will do those greater things. But I am absolutely convinced that he will not do it unless we come together and pray. And that's why I decided I'm just going to have to be a pastor of a praying church. Because I've got one life to live. I went to Africa. And I saw God move in just unreal ways. I went back there and saw some guys, and they say, I want you to know, one Friday a month, we get up at midnight and our church gathers together and we pray for you. And I started to weep. Man, we're going to have to be a praying church. I'm begging you, I'm pleading that we will become a praying church. Because I want to see the hand of God move. And I believe it can. But I don't want to have my life one day go up to heaven and be able to be there and realize what could have been. I don't want to be up there and look at that account that all that could have been withdrawn. And it never was because we just simply did not come together and ask. I want to be able to be there and I want to see that that account was emptied out and God said, you know what, I had to go and put some other people's stuff in that account because at least y'all were asking, y'all were good stewards of it, amen. I'm telling you, the account's full. I don't even know what's all in there, but I can tell you this, blessing after blessing after blessing is ready to come. But it will not come unless we come together now. Second thing I want you to see, his prayers were powerfully effective. That's interesting. If you look in James there, it says the effective, fervent prayer. That word there is literally two words brought together. It means to be able to work. It's an adverb and verb participle construction. And what James has been talking about is what is true, genuine faith. And it says, listen, this is what Elijah did. Elijah prayed and believed and it worked. This is what James said in chapter 1, verse 6. But let him ask in faith with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Here James says, listen, if you're going to pray, you've got to pray believing. Folks, this is what I have learned. What you say is not what you believe. What you do is what you believe. And my question today is, are we a praying church? And I wish I could say, yes, we are. But there's too many of us that are not willing to gather and call upon the name of the Lord. And we need to be able to do that. And then the key to all this, to what he says lastly, is that he prayed in righteousness. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. Notice what it says in Hebrews chapter 10. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, to be able to actually take those prayers and actually reach God by a new and living way which he consecrated for us through the veil that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with a pure water. The righteousness he is talking about is not righteousness that we self-produce. But it's the righteousness that comes from understanding that Jesus Christ died for our sins and made us new. Man, there's power there when we say, God, we come and through Jesus Christ, our Savior, we come to you, Father, having been washed and purified, and we stand righteous. And God, we come, and our motives of asking these things is not that Grace Baptist would be made known, but that the name above every name, that Jesus Christ would be known. God, we're going to pray and ask these things. We have to come and pray in the Spirit, not grieving or quenching the Spirit, but willing to come and be willing to ask in faith in the righteousness of Christ. And when we do that, God is going to do amazing and great things. One of my fond memories here in Bakersfield was starting the church at Sure Foundation when we were at the college, and then we met at the Korean church. And we met on the Korean church on Sunday nights when we started out, and we had men and women's Bible study. And we would go there, and it was an old building, and it'd be in the summer, it was like 105 degrees, and we tried to turn on the air conditions, and once you turn 2 on, the whole power shut off in the building. And we were there and we were just sweating, but I mean, everybody was committed to still doing the study. And we were there, and just like every place I've been, there's people who always come late. And so the power had gone out, and there was a couple men who were checking on some stuff. And one of the guys comes in, he sits down for a little bit, and he's just sweating, and he's like, man, it's hot in here. And then he goes and he walks into the next, classroom, and he comes back and he takes a fan and he plugs it in and he turns it on, and he's just frustrated that the fan won't work. And I was like, listen, the fan's not going to work because there is no power. And folks, there's a lot of us who are teaching a Sunday school class, or we're being an elder, or we're trying to lead a home group, or we're trying to do children's ministry, or we're trying to reach our neighbor, or we're trying to do this, and we get frustrated because we're looking at our lives and go, man, there's no power. There's no power until we get connected to God in prayer. And when we do, there's the effective fervent, the working power of God that bursts His plan and sees great things that take place. This is what I believe. I truly believe that Grace Baptist is on the threshold of something great that's about to take place. But I can tell you, it will not come unless we make a decision that we're going to make prayer a priority. We have a decision to make. What do you believe? Our actions will show it. Amen? Let's pray.